Good morning, church. As you can see, I'm definitely not at the pulpit today. I am actually in my study. It is Thursday evening, and I am pre-recording this sermon. For those of you who are out there on the internet, you may not know, but my wife has been tested with COVID, so we are quarantining ourselves, and this is the only way that we could bring the sermon, continue on with our sermon series, which we wanted to do. So you folks there that are gathering as the ecclesia could worship this day, as you should. And I'm so glad that you are here. And for those of you who are joining us on the internet, God bless you and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know that we are called to love God, love others, and go. And we also know that God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. So today, I'd like to continue with you and just move on in this time of revelation, looking at the truth of this year and where we are and just what's happening, and asking ourselves a question: are you ready for an epiphany? Because an epiphany is a revelation of God into our lives. And each and every one of us should be seeking that truth. And that's where we need to be as the Church of Jesus Christ, to move forward in God's divine nature, growing and being constantly changed to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So today we're going to continue on. And I'd simply like to remind you all where we are. We're in the book of Matthew. We're actually in chapter 7. We're going to read verses 7 through 14 at this point. So if you would, grab your Bibles and turn there with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 7, beginning in the 7th verse. Pardon me. From the 7th verse, the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter, we read these words. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, last week I was talking about the ask aspect, and I went directly to the verses 13 and 14, and I do apologize for that, because that is part of it. But the reality is, the asking section is, if we're not willing to ask God for the simple things, how will he ever grow us to ask of the more difficult things, or to find out how to seek him in life and what that means? Because there's so much out there to distract us. So we first begin by asking the questions. And then as we mature, we begin to seek after him. And today, that's really where I want us to go, is looking at that second section, knowing that God tells us that we are to ask. And as we ask, he is faithful. He will give us the answers that we need. He'll show us the directions that we need to go. But we need to be in tune with his heart, because the questions we ask need to be questions that are in tune with his spirit, with his design, with his purpose. If we're asking with wrong motives, it's not going to take place. We will find ourselves going astray, searching after our own longings. We have to put our longings down and again, seek him in all things. And that begins with our heart. So today, I want us to remember that very perspective, because again, from verses 13 and 14, it's a narrow gate. It's a narrow way to get there. And wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. And we need to remember, we are not to be of that mindset. We are not of this world any longer. We are in this world, but we are of the kingdom of heaven. And thus is where our hearts should always be. For where your heart is, there also is your treasure, according to the word of the Lord. And we know that to be truth. So we need to walk not only by faith, but faith in our hearts. And that narrow gate is the way of repentance by the way of Jesus Christ. That is a truth that each and every one of you out there knows. If you are in Christ, you know that. If you're not in Christ, you're seeking that even now, though you may not know what you're seeking, but it's the one who's seeking you. Please remember, we do not seek after God. He seeks after us with the power of his Holy Spirit. And once we recognize that and we feel those rumblings, then we move forward in that truth. And we begin to ask him for direction, to seek his will and his way. And we also need to remind ourselves that our heart and our mind must be working in unity. You know, we've often heard it said, many people miss heaven by 18 inches, the difference between their head and their heart. Our head and our heart must be working in unity towards that truth, because God speaks into our hearts and we respond in our minds as we understand and as we wrestle with these things and move forward, understanding that God has something far different than what our world has to show us. And that's part of where we're going to be going here a little bit later today. So as we look at the Word of God and we begin to understand some of these truths, in Jeremiah 17, verse 10, he tells us, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve. We also need to understand that in Jeremiah 29, 13, God says to us, you will seek me and find me when you what? Seek me with all your heart. Your heart is where God speaks to us. It is where the consciousness of God in the heart of man is where the Holy Spirit desires to live and reside. It is the temple that you and I have become. It is his place, his place of abode. The house of the Lord is no longer in brick and mortar, but it is in flesh and blood. And that's what you and I need to remember. We are that third temple. And right now, somebody's trying to destroy that third temple. And we're going to talk about that much later as we get into this time of teaching here as we go. And I don't mean today. I mean in the weeks to come. Because you and I need to see where God's leading us and just what's going on in our world. And to me, that's one of the greatest aspects of where we are with this truth that we're trying to unpack here of ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So let us be reminded of what God tells us, because there is a process of seeking him that we must remain diligent in and keeping to that narrow road. And I hate to tell you this, but it has a lot to do with what we fill our minds with. Let's read on in the book of Matthew and see what the Lord has to tell us from the 15th to the 20th verse. From verse 15 in the book of Matthew, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. When we look at the word that God is giving us here, there's a lot of people out there telling us a lot of stuff. And, you know, I want you to think about what's on television, what you hear on secular radio. And I hate to say it, even some of the Christian radio stations and some of the ministers that are out there preaching, you know, they're called men of God or women of God. But what are they really preaching? Are they preaching what is in alignment with God's precepts? And that's what we have to be about. You know, one of our dear brothers here, in fact, he's the president of our board, and I'm picking on him here this morning, but he tells us all the time that we need to be as the Bereans of old, because they studied the word to see if what was said was truly the word of God. You and I need to do the same thing. If we are going to ask God, we need to have some idea of who he is and what his desires are for our lives. And if we're going to seek him, we need to have an even greater relationship, because we can seek after him, but if we're following false teaching, it's going to lead us astray. It is going to pull us away from our Lord and Savior. And it's going to lead us into the things of this world that will lead to destruction. We're warned on that many times throughout the scriptures. But today, I don't want to get into those warnings. What I want to get into is the very reality that God is speaking to us, and he's asking us to seek after him. When I began this series, I knew I was going to be talking about the years that were out there and some numerology. And last week, I told you we would be looking at 5782 in the Hebrew calendar. Last week, we looked at 2022. And I have my notes here from last week's sermon. And it just amazes me when we think about what that time means, what this time means. We are in 2022. And we can see what it means. We can see that there's chaos and disorder. And we can see that there is light and fullness. We can see that God has shown us through his word the different ways that we can see that fullness that is him. And we can see the hope that is there in that light, because the light of his word is our hope. But as we get deeper into that, now it's not just asking the superficial questions. It's looking at the depths of what God has for us. Because he says, when you seek me, you will find me. When you seek me with all your heart. So as you and I are seeking him out, I want us to think, just what does 5782 have to do with the body of Christ? Well, please remember, we're engrafted into Abraham. So we are part of Israel. We are the adopted children of Israel. And we are awaiting that day when the Lord himself will come and take the church up to be with him forever. And that forever begins with the marriage feast. While that's taking place, there's a thing called the tribulation that's happening here on earth. And then after that is the millennium, 1,000 years of Christ's reign. And at the end of 1,000 years, there is a final judgment, and then the eternal estate. But between now and then, do you think God has something he'd like to tell us? Do you think God wants us to seek him out in what he's already doing here in our world? Remember, he has written this from the beginning to the end. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. He already wrote the story. And we know, because we've read the end of the book, that he wins. And in that, so too do we. But wouldn't you like to be a player? Wouldn't you like to be someone who is out there in the field doing that which God has called us to do? And what is that? What God, you know, have you given us signs? Yes, he says that the stars and the moon are for signs and wonders. And he's given us the Hebrew language, which tells us so much. So today, I want to get into, what does 5782 hold? Just the numbers. 5782. When we look at this year, just as we did 2022, what does it look like? Well, the first thing I need to remind everybody, or at least tell everybody, you may not know this. This year began in September. So we are already into 5782. We've been in 5782 for a little while now. And one of the things I want you to understand or want you to know, because you may not have known this is a Shemitah year. Well, what's a Shemitah year? A Shemitah year is actually a year of rest. It is a year to rely on God. Now, I want to show that to you. I want you to go to Leviticus chapter 25. Leviticus chapter 25. Once you get to chapter 25, I would like you to find chapter 20, and we're going to read 20 and 21. 20 and 21. From the 20th verse of the book of Leviticus in the 25th chapter. It says to us, but if you say, what are we going to eat on the seventh year if we are not to sow or gather in our crops, then I will so order my blessing for you in the sixth year that it will bring forth the crop for 3 years. Did you hear that? A Shemitah is a year of rest. The people of Israel were to rest the land that it was plowed, it was plowed, it was planted, it was harvested for 6 years. But in that seventh year, it was a Sabbath year unto the Lord. It was a time of rest for the land. Now, I want you to understand something. We are not Israel, okay? We are people here that are listening to this. We are in the United States. Many of you are in other places in the United States. I know there are some of you that are in Western Pennsylvania, some of you in North Carolina, and several other places throughout, not just the United States, but abroad as well. But we're not Israel. We are the church. So when we think about what this is talking about, the Bible is very clear. This only applies to Israel. However, the principle is the same for those of us who love the Lord and hold to his statutes. Remember, Jesus has lifted a lot of the law from us, for he was the fulfillment of the law. However, we are still to remember that this is a year unto the Lord. This is a year of rest. This is a year where we need to think about what's going on and what we should be doing. As I said, the principle remains the same. We are to trust God. This is to be a year of faith. This is to be a year of God's manifest blessing in our lives and throughout our world if we turn ourselves to God and seek him in all that we do. When you and I are walking aright with the Lord, we will find many blessings in our lives. Now, I want you to think about where we are in this year. We're already well into it. We're in January, so we've gone through October, November, December, and we've just started January. So we're about 3.5 months in by the Hebraic calendar. Has it been a year of full blessing? No, because there's a lot of stuff going on. But we need to remember, in a year of blessing, Satan is also in a year of taking away. We need to think about what's going on in our world, because if God's going to bless us, the evil one doesn't want that stuff. So we're going to see things happening in these years that are going to seem awful and horrible. But if we trust the Lord, if we rely upon the Lord, he will bring about the goodness that we are to have. That's who he is. We need to remember that we are not to allow Satan to rob our joy. Jesus has said, you will have light and momentary troubles. Sometimes they don't seem so light and sometimes they don't seem so momentary. But that's because our world has taught us to live in a very negative fashion, where everything we look at is what's wrong rather than what's right. However, when you see so much wrong, it's kind of easy to get pushed that direction. And then we get into a defensive mode where we just circle the wagons and, you know, hope that the cavalry comes soon. We are the body of Christ. We are the cavalry. That's who we're supposed to be. We are the light and the salt of the earth. And we are to be out there bringing that message of hope, that message of prosperity. And I'm not talking, pardon me, I'm not talking worldly prosperity. I'm talking eternal prosperity. And we know we will be with the Lord forever. And our life is not just wrapped up here. This is just a beginning. Which gets me into looking at the number of the year. We are in 5782. So this would be considered the 80s of the 57th century in God. The 80s began in 1920. Now I want you, or excuse me, in 1920, in 2020. I want you to think about something. If Satan is going to come, if the evil one is going to come, remember, we fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. If God is going to be for us, you know there's somebody that's going to be against us. We know that from the scriptures. And the truth of the matter is, he is. He comes against us to try and rob us of the things of God, if that were even so. So I think to this, and I say to myself, what was the very first thing that happened in the 1980s? In the 5780s, excuse me. Y'all know what this is, don't you? Yeah. Why is this important when I think about what he was trying to rob us from? Well, the number 80 in Hebrew is the letter pay. And the letter pay means mouth, with the connotation of word, expression, speech, or breath. So we came into the decade of mouth, the decade of speech, the decade of breath. And what was the very first thing the evil one tried to take away? I don't make this stuff up. I don't invent it. It's here, and we can all see it. Each and every one of us needs to understand, God is trying to talk to us. Are we going to have eyes to see and ears to hear? The evil one wants us to shut up. He wants to take our breath away. He wants to take the word out of our mouth. Remember, in 2020, we were told the church was non-essential. Did you just hear me say that? Yes, you heard me say that. We were considered non-essential. I don't know how they get that a hardware store has to stay open, but the churches need to close. Where do you get hope from? I certainly don't pick it up at Lowe's. Pardon me, I don't mean to make a pun on Lowe's. They just happen to be one of the big hardware chains here in our area. God bless them for being able to remain open. But forsake the government for trying to shut us down. And that doesn't have anything to do with parties, because both sides agreed. We need to understand there's one Savior, and it's not man. I don't care what numbers or letters they have behind their name. I don't care what color they call themselves. There's only one Savior, and he bled red for all of us. And in that we must stand. So as we think about this year that we're coming into, like I said, it begins with mouth, okay? To speak the word of God, to breathe life into others as God has breathed life into us. And the second portion of it is the letter bet. Now, most of us know what bet is. I want you to think about that. Bet, as in Bethlehem, meaning house of bread. Therefore, what does bet mean? House. Okay? But it also has another connotation, and I think this is wonderful. Because last year was Alf, the year one. And the year one represents God the Father. It represents power. It represents being the chief over something. It represents God. But I want you to think about this, because the very first letter of the Bible, the very first letter of the Bible, do you have any idea what it is? It's the letter Bet. Because in the beginning, God remained silent, but the Son spoke. Remember, when God speaks, what's happening? Jesus is being invoked. And the Son spoke in the beginning. So out of Jesus' mouth, all of existence, all of creation, all of the Bible, everything came out of His mouth into existence by the agreement of the Father and through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand, was He there at the beginning? Oh, you better believe He was, because Bet represents Son. Alf is Father. Bet is Son. And it is also the house. So out of the house of God, this was spoken by whom? The Son of God, the second person of our Trinity. That's the truth of where we are. When we look at the year 82, we know that this is coming out of the mouth of God, from the house of God. We also need to understand that we are called to be the mouthplace of God. We are now the images of Christ here on this earth, and we are to be speaking forward into everything that is, to bring others into the household of faith. We, the household of faith, need to be speaking the word of God to bring others into the household of faith. Do you see what I'm saying? All of our thoughts, all that we are, everything that we express should be centered around our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, does that mean you're hammering people with the Bible all the time? No, it means being Christ-like in all that we are and all that we do. We are the image of God through Christ Jesus and His sacrifice on the cross. By faith, we have been saved. And in that faith, we must walk daily into the truth that is yet to be, because we're not there yet. There is time to go. But I am going to tell you this, just as they put a mask on us, you know, 2 years ago, and now all the stuff that they've got going on, it's going to continue, because we know it's going to continue. We've read the book too, and we understand it's going to get worse as things go by. But we need to remember also what God is telling us, that we are to speak from our mouths, to breathe from our mouths, the word of God from the house of God. That's us, okay? We are being built up. We are being built up into a holy tabernacle. That is what we are. We are the tabernacle of God, the temple of God right here. And we need to speak out of this place into our world, that others may come in, that the Lord may dwell with them, and they too may be living stones in this building called the church. Because this is the age of the church. So as we look at these numbers and we see what God is telling us here, it's understanding that there is so much that we need to see and understand as to what is happening in our world. I want you to do me a favor. Just turn to the book of Luke. Turn to the book of Luke. And I'm going to be in chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I shot right past it. Luke chapter 6. From verse 45. And that's the only verse we're going to look at here. Verse 45. This is Jesus speaking again. Jesus teaching to us here. And he says to us from the 45th verse of the 6th chapter, "The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good, and the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." You and I spoke of this as we began. We need to seek God with all our heart. And when we seek him with all our heart, we will be found by him. And when we are found by him, we will speak his words out to the people. Words of care, words of compassion, words of life. And that's important for where I want to go next when we look at 57:82. Because I'm not done with it. I have one more thing I want you all to understand, and I pray that you will begin to understand. These are things that, you know, like I said, I've been looking into them, and it's just, it's blowing my mind what God is doing. If we take just the numbers, 5, 7, 8, 2, all right? Remember I said you simplify it, 5, 7, 8, 2, and we look at what those numbers mean. We're going to begin with the 2. I'm going to do it backwards. Why? Because it makes more sense doing it backwards when I put it together than it does to read it frontwards. Remember, the Israelites read backwards. They start from the left and go to the right. So if we look at this in year 2, or in number 2, is bet or house. Okay? Simplest definition, bet, house. Het, number 8. Okay? It means life. It means living water. So we have the house of life, the house of living water. Number 7. Number 7 is the multiplier, and it is also the number of God. It is his perfection. It is his fullness. All right? So we have the house of life, the house of living water, in perfection, abundant. Number 5 is going to receive revelation and grace. You and I need to understand, when we put this together and I try to make a sentence out of it, try to make sense of God, what he tells us in his word, the house of life, the house of living water is going to see perfection, is going to see God's fullness through progressive revelation of what he has already said, worked out in our lives, and that is the grace of God given unto each and every one of us. That this is a Shemitah year, a year of blessing, a year of manifestation of God's blessing. But we have got to be in the heart of God to receive that blessing. We cannot be in the world. We can't be on the fence. We are going to have to seek God with all our hearts, all our mind, all our soul, and all our strength. Okay, now I know the scripture there says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. But we need to seek him that way as well, because is that not what love does? Love seeks out that individual. Love seeks out that one to please them, to be part of them, to be one with them. And that's where I want us to think about the year 5782, the year 2022. Now, I've got more to say on these two things, and next week I'm sincerely going to do that as we begin to look at just what it means to knock, and the door will be open to you. Because we now know, we now understand, I pray you do, that we need to ask, and it will be given. That's where we all start. That's the simple things. That's the easy stuff. But then we need to move on in maturity. We need to grow, and we need to get deeper. We need to get away from the superficial stuff, from the Christianese, and we need to begin seriously seeking God in our lives and all that we are, and get rid of the superficiality of everyday earth. And remember, we're kingdom people. God has something more in store for us. And that something more has to do with right here and right now and what he has us here for. Remember what I said to you earlier. None of you are here by accident. Each and every person that is hearing my voice today was born for this time, for a reason. Are you going to seek it out? Are you going to seek Him out? Today, I just want us to think about what that really means. Because as we seek God's direction, we also need to remember that it may mean stepping out of our comfort zone. Because brothers and sisters, let's all remind ourselves, if we keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, that's called insanity. And we've not learned anything from our past failures. And we're doomed to repeat again and again. So let's try something different. We need to check our hearts with God and move into what God has for us. The fullness of God is here if each and every one of us will walk in that truth. I leave you with these words today, that we are not of this world. We are of the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us has a purpose in this life. God has called you by name. You are here today because of His purpose. He loves you, and He wants you to know Him in the fullness. Not in part, not to be in question, because remember, He tells us, those who persevere to the end shall be saved. He doesn't want you to get three quarters of the way or 3 days away and give up because it's hard. And it's going to get harder. But He wants us to remember to seek and you shall find. And who are we to seek? Him. Seek for Him in all that we are and all that we do. Turn your heart to Him. And He will incline His heart to you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You so much for this day that You have given each and every one of us. As we enter into this Shemitah year, a year of rest, a year to rely on Your grace and Your goodness, we ask, Father, that no matter what come our way, that we would always be reminded that we are Your children and You will never leave us nor forsake us. And that as we go through this time, that we will pick up those things of joy and goodness and gladness and blessing, and we would treasure them. Let us not cast our pearls before the swine, lest they trample them and turn and devour us. For Lord God, we are Your church, Your children, called by name, that each of us may be with You both now and forever. Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been watching a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.